children. We're starting.
That's right.
Showtime. Another Fresh Picked Pod from audio2u.com. Shutters Inc. With Shelton Muller.
You might wish to stay on and listen.
Hi, and welcome to episode 68 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from audio2u.com. With me on the line once again, Mr. Frequent Flyer Miles himself, Shelton Muller. How are you?
I've gone from being Lord of the Lens to Mr. Frequent Flyer Miles. Okay, fair enough. Maybe my photography needs some picking up.
It seems that you're always jetting off because of your photography. So,
well, that's true. Case in point, the fact that you and I were able to meet the other night at Shutterbug 07.
Yeah, and for those who aren't aware, Shelton, you explain.
Well, Shutterbug 07 was an initiative created by a friend of mine in Sydney who wanted to, as part of a business course he was taking, open up and begin a photo competition that would showcase the work of enthusiast and amateur photographers to, people in the know. There were magazine publishers and editors there, and one of the prizes, in fact, was a front cover shoot for one of these publications. My friend hired a cinema, basically, and put together a series of DVD-based slideshows that were from the 10 finalists from all the entrants. The entrants had to present a CD of digital images. They could be shot on film, but they needed to be digital on the CD. Of at least 20 images in a theme, which is a hard call. I mean, anyone can say...
For a non-professional,
anyone. Exactly. It had to be based on a theme. They needed to be 20 images. Most photographers can find one good image they like to enter into a competition, but 20 that they're happy with within a theme, I thought was a fairly big call. But he got 150 entries. Now, he's only been putting this together the last couple of months, so he's only been able to get these entries in the last few weeks because it took a bit of setting up time. But he had 150 entries. I went up there to help judge the competition, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But we had to judge the final 10 and then the final 3. So it was a very interesting evening. But in the end, we had a few hundred people in the cinema, and we had the images screened on the big cinema screen, which was fabulous. Yeah. I've never seen my pictures screened that large before. Not that I was an entry. I was one of the presenters, and they showed some of my work. But it was really great, and we had a great evening. But it gave us a couple of things to talk about, didn't it, mate?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. And by the way, just to set the scene, the Chevelle Cinema in Paddington here in Sydney is one of the great art house cinemas in Australia, and it's a beautiful old cinema. It's sort of that Art Deco style, probably was built around the 40s or the 50s, and it's a gorgeous room, and it's been well looked after.
Yeah.
Pretty decent sound system, although as an audio engineer, I immediately noticed that they were only running the center speaker. They weren't running the surround speakers, which I thought was a bit unusual, but anyway.
Yeah, we thought so too, but that was one of those things that just couldn't get done in time, unfortunately.
But great night. I had a ball.
Yeah, if anyone's interested, you can type Shutterbug07 into Google, and it'll take you to the website that was put up. I'm not sure what's happening on that site now because the event is finished, but it was a great night. And what really impressed me was the images from amateur photographers. I see professional work that I think is pretty darn average, and then you see the work of enthusiast photographers, and I use the word enthusiast because it is obviously at the heart of their image making is their enthusiasm, and it was just fabulous. I want to talk about that, but the competition was very, very difficult to judge for me. Now, I hate judging. There was a young rabbi from Nazareth once who said, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." And knowing that I'm averse to being judged on my work, because, I'm no genius, I thought I'd rather not judge. And then we had 10 finalists with images each with at least 20 images that ranged from street candids, night sort of, gritty, candid sort of street
black
shots,
and white.
Black and white, through to fashion, through to landscape, surfing, and
motor racing,
The
first guy, the bodybuilding series,
that
was interesting.
Yeah. How do you judge between all of those things? And we as judges, there was myself, Greg Bayer, who writes for My Magazine, Dan Paris, who's also a writer for My Magazine, Wendy McDougall, and a graphic designer was on board, plus named Dennis and Mark, who ran the competition, who is himself a photographer. And we judged the final three out of the final 10 that had previously been adjudicated by another body. And how do you judge between those different kinds of images? We all gave a number as we watched each of the shows. We all gave a number, and then, you know, the number was tallied at the end. It had to be as anal as that, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. As we discussed the images, we came up with the winner fairly unanimously, which was the surfing photographs.
Yep.
And one of the and the criteria that we all said these things are important, you know, were that the images themselves were very impactful. They were, you know, images, surfing images I hadn't seen the likes of before in many different ways. The prowess, and skill required to achieve these images was quite, you know, awe-inspiring,
yeah.
Really.
Yep.
Considering that he had to be right there in the wave. You remember that shot with a surfer with his face right up
yeah.
to the camera?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's riding a wave and he's got his face right up to the camera. Now, where was Jeremy, the
yeah,
winner,
exactly.
considering he had to use a wide-angle lens, you know?
Yeah.
He would have been right there in the face of that surfer. So the prowess required for that, you know, set of images is quite incredible. The other thing that was, you know, evident as against a lot of the other images is that there was no digital or darkroom manipulation. These images were pretty well straight out of the camera. And this is something we've been talking about for the last few weeks. We all basically said that these images are very impactful and they haven't required any photo, you know, shop or, you know, digital manipulation of any kind.
Mm.
And we were very, very impressed with that.
No, looking at them, I'd say, you know, at most he might have run some levels, but other than that,
yes.
there was no photoshopping on them at all.
No, no. I know that, I think for one of the images, Mark rang him up and said, can we just lighten your face a little for the sake of the presentation, lighten the face on one of the surfers, which had a bit of shadow cast across it as he was surfing,
right.
You know, and that was all, you know, that was just a bit of dodging, just one swipe of the dodge tool in Photoshop,
yeah.
Just so we could get a little bit of detail so that people could see. But that was the extent of it and wasn't necessary. It was just, well, we can do it, so let's do
just
it.
Just a nice thing.
And the photographer agreed. Yeah. And that was very important. We've been talking about this in this podcast for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
And one of the criteria was that these images were standalone. Not that that would have meant that the photoshopped images didn't stand a chance. It just simply meant that it was an added factor to how we were impressed with, you know, this particular set of images. So it was, you know, and when I announced it, I had the honor of announcing the first prize. And when I announced it, there was a roar of agreement from the audience.
Yeah.
And that made me feel good because you can imagine. And the winner is Jeremy Wilmot, The Green Room.
Yeah.
And it would have been crazy if it would have been rather sad if the room had just gone.
yeah, exactly.
A little cricket, you know.
Yeah.
But like no, there was a roar of agreement. Yeah. So we were very, very pleased with that. Jeremy's a lovely bloke, you know, he was very pleased to get the camera that was won, which was a Nikon D70S SLR kit. Nice little prize.
Yeah.
And you know, second and third winners were completely different kinds of images. The bodybuilding images were I think third. And there were some water-based, you know, seascapes that were second, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
But it was an interesting evening. And so that was one lesson that I took from that I want to basically, again, pass on. If you are entering, you know, images, they have to be, you know, into any competition, first of all, make sure that they're good out of the camera. Now, I know I've talked about this at least for the last two podcasts, but it was very important in our decision as judges when it came down to judging between so many different kinds and sets of images that were totally unrelated to each other. So from that perspective, I again highlight the importance of that. And another thing that I thought I'd just mention for the sake of this podcast was the inspiration that came from sitting there. How did you feel about that, Bruce? When you looked at these images and what was possible,
oh,
did
absolutely.
You just feel like going home and getting your camera
oh,
out?
Oh, yeah. I was wishing I had my 7D with me so I could take some shots on the way home. But yeah
it's like that, isn't it? It's like that. It's like that. And Dan Paris, who came across from Esperance in WA, West Australia. Esperance is a little town on the Great Australian Bight down in the south. It's a lovely little place. Mm-hmm. Very small little town, touristy town, on the coast of the Great Australian Bight, at the bottom of Australia. And a beautiful place. But Dan has left, you know, he was a TV star here in Australia. He played Drew Kirk in Neighbours, which, if you're a UK listener, you'd be very familiar with Dan. But he left all of that to take up photography. And Dan's a very good-looking young man, hell of a nice guy. I've known him for about 7 years, and we get along like a house on fire. He's a humble guy who, you know, just loves to take photographs and travel Australia. He does the panorama, the 6x17 panoramas on Fuji Velvia. And his work was shown and highlighted on that evening. But and it is beautiful.
Yeah.
But he thanked me for putting his name up to Mark to sort of fly him across. And he was in Sydney for a few days just to be there for that event and help out with it. And he thanked me for putting him up for it. And I said, oh, well, I hope it hasn't been a waste of your time, because none of us got paid for this. It was just something we did to support the industry. And he made the comment that absolutely it was worth it, because he doesn't have an environment there in Esperance.
In a little town like Esperance.
In a little that wherein he can, you know, brainstorm and get inspired by and with other photographers. He's basically there on his own, especially in what he's doing. And hasn't made, you know, too many sort of close friends, or, you know, if he has one or two photographer friends, that's fine. But he doesn't get a lot of input. There's not a lot going on in that town photographically from which he can draw, you know, a certain level of motivation and inspiration. So as he was part of this entire event, he saw so many different kinds of images and has been inspired to expand upon his work. Now, Dan's panorama work, Dan Paris, and you can certainly look at it on his website, is just fabulous. His photography is, you know, is beautiful, considering that he's just he works with film. There's no Photoshop, nothing like that. He just pulls a tranny, 6x17 centimeter tranny out of the back of his camera, and it's just gorgeous stuff. He wants to expand upon that now, because I would imagine that you could sooner or later find yourself falling into a rut, a formula that you would approach every single landscape with. And after a while, lose your vision, passion, enthusiasm to some degree. If you're always falling into the same artistic rut, it becomes more a formula than a creation. And he was really, really pleased that he could come to Sydney, be there with hundreds of other photographers, watch, well, his work on the big screen, which he had not seen himself either yet, and also the work of other photographers. He was able to take, subconsciously perhaps, but ideas from the work that was, you know, there, and incorporate it, you know, into his own. That he'll be going out and doing different kinds of work now. For instance, you know, he was thinking of doing, you know, maybe some black and white nude in the landscape rather than just landscape, which he's never tried before. And you know, one of the presentations sort of inspired him to do that. And so we basically, I learned from that I take my environment for granted, that I am constantly in touch with other photographers. I'm always brainstorming, sitting around having a coffee with them. I'm always, you know, in that fraternity, and Dan isn't. So if you, as a listener, find yourself on your own and you're not getting much, inspiration from others, join a club, you know, a local camera club. I would seriously suggest you do that. Go to exhibitions and presentations. Be a part of the photo, well, not industry as such, because, you know, you may not be working as a professional, but part of the photo fraternity in your area. There's always something going on with photography. And if there isn't, well, start something. You know, Mark got this competition up and running in a couple of months, and it's been a lot of hard work for him. But the payoff was, you know, a seriously inspiring, you know, couple of months wherein he was constantly in touch with photographers and images, and in the end, a fabulous event transpired, you know, from which he derived a certain amount of achievement and enthusiasm, and so did others.
And I thought what was interesting was Wendy McDougall's comment, and she, you know, for those who are not familiar with her, has been in the professional photographic industry in Australia for probably 25 plus years.
Mm.
And she made the comment that she has been to, you know, more photographic exhibitions than she can remember. And she looked at Mark, you know, while she was on stage at the microphone. She turned to Mark and she said, "And I've never known any of them to be put together in 2.5 months."
That's right. It can be done.
That was fantastic, you know.
Yeah, it can be done. So if there's nothing going on, you know, if you live in small town Nowheresville and there's nothing going on and you're sort of find yourself on your own, that can be very damaging. We should be mavericks to some degree in our photography in that our work, you know, manifests our personal style. But we shouldn't be rocks, islands, loners, because we derive inspiration from one another. I derived inspiration from, you know, photography and photographers whose work I would probably not do. I'm not like a street photographer. I wouldn't go out at night and photograph street kids and homeless people, and I wouldn't necessarily run into a protest and think, oh, I'm really having a great time taking pictures. I would do it if I was asked. But yeah. I mean, one of the themes, one of the presentations of the finalists was, as you remember, a series of protest images.
Yeah.
The photographer had gone into protests all around the world, it would appear.
Yeah.
And had photographed from within the protest, you know, these protesters with their signs and their faces and, you know, their crowds. And you know, they were evocative images, not among my favorite, but I derived a certain level of inspiration from that subconsciously, because there's a lot of passion in these images, a lot of social comment.
Yeah.
And, you know, it may not be the kind of photography you do, but Dan has gone. Dan does 6x17, you know, panoramas and sells images in his gallery. But he goes home with these images spinning around in the back of his head, and they will to some degree alter the future of his photography, maybe minutely, but they will nonetheless, you know, alter his what he does, how he sees images, how he takes images, and maybe they'll give him, you know, something else to do. I find that Ian Rolfe, for instance, who writes for my magazine, has been a good friend of mine. He is a fabulous landscape photographer, but he has a formula. And that works for him, and it doesn't seem to tire him, and his images are consistently beautiful, but it would drive me nuts, you know, if all I ever did was that. I love the diversity of the work that I do, and, you know, it keeps the connections between, you know, landscapes and portraits may seem tenuous, but, you know, you will always find some relationship from one to the other that will affect, you know, how you photograph one or the other in some maybe subconscious way. But if you haven't opened your mind and eyes up to those possibilities, your photography will become, you know, routine, formulaic, and stale. And that's the thing that I really enjoyed about that particular evening. And I'm just dying to, you know, get my camera out again and do some photography. I really am. It was so, those two things, you know, I thought we'd talk about today, the nature of the judging and the criteria that was, you know, part of that. Because I know probably many of our listeners enter competitions. And, you know, and also the fact that, you know, you should become part of some photographic fraternity to some degree, even if it's a group of your friends who sit around your place and have a coffee or sit on the patio and open a beer and talk about pictures, that is still worthwhile.
Yeah.
And you should be a part of that to some degree.
Absolutely. Mm. Look, and Mark has an intention to make this an annual event, is that right?
Well, we'll see. I mean, you remember he closed the evening with, well, what about Shutterbug 08, eh? Sounds good? You know, in his true laid-back style. And everyone went, yay! So hopefully he will continue and Shutterbug 08 will become a reality.
Yeah.
I really hope so, because it was a great idea to... And look, there's no reason that you can't do it, dear listener. Approach a local cinema, put it out there, you know, see if you can get some sponsorship, which is what Mark did. He got a few $1,000s in sponsorship to pay for the cinemas. We had a lovely, you know, we had food and drinks before the evening started out in the foyer.
Yep.
You know, he got this all sponsored, of course, and as well as the prizes. And, you know, it can be done. And it is a great thing for the photo industry in all terms, all ways, to have something like that, you know, take place. So if you don't want to initiate that kind of thing, that's fine. But if something like that comes to town, be a part of it.
Definitely.
Because you can only benefit. You may not even be one of the finalists, but you can only benefit by having a go and then sitting there, if it becomes an evening or a function of some kind, and seeing what actually did, you know, win and why.
Mm.
And then take those things on board, take them home, and incorporate them in your image making.
Absolutely.
I did. You know, I've been doing this a long time, you know, and I took a lot of that. One of the things that, you know, I took back from that was that passion and enthusiasm is a vital element of your photography. And without it, it just simply can become, you know, for professionals, a job. And if we don't involve ourselves in these things, then there is running the risk of our images becoming stale, becoming a job, becoming something we do. And we lose the love that, you know, made it go out and buy a camera in the first place.
Yeah.
Which would be very sad. Yeah. Very, very sad.
Now, between now and the weekend, Shelton, would there be any chance of you getting hold of Mark and getting him to get in touch with Jeremy and find out whether or not we could get the 20 photos from the green room to put on the website?
Most certainly. Yep. I will
get that. Given that we've spoken about it, it'd be nice to be able to let everyone see what won.
Yes.
And yes. I don't suppose Jeremy would have a problem with it. He'd probably be happy for the exposure. So.
Oh, he was pretty laid-back, sort of surfy sort of guy, yeah. You know? yeah, thanks. I'd like to thank the organisers. Sure. I'll organise that, see what cool. I can do. Just before I sign off, Bruce, got some good news.
Yeah.
My son, Nathan,
yeah.
Entered a national photographic competition in Oz Traveller magazine here in Australia. And we just received news yesterday that he is the first prize winner.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, he took a photograph. He's just turned 16, and he took this photograph about 3 years ago. So
right.
He's only about 13 then on his Fuji's brand new Fuji S1. It wasn't brand new, but it hadn't been used. Let's put it that way.
Right.
SLR was the first time he'd taken it out and given it a bash. And it's a picture of Vivonne Bay down in Kangaroo Island here in,
In
Australia.
South Australia.
Yeah. And we all went down as a team, me and a boy and a few other fellow photographers, which we do every year, get together and just go somewhere and shoot the heck out of some place. And he's won first prize. They printed his image as a double page spread in the magazine, Oz Traveller magazine. And he's won a Canon 400D SLR. Yeah, not bad for a kid who's just turned 16. So I'm very proud. He's a chip off the old block, even though I've never won anything. And, you know, I've never entered, probably. But that might help. But very, very proud of him. We're a Nikon family here, so I don't know how we're going to do, you know, what we're going to do about this Canon. But I just thought I'd let you know what I might do if listeners don't mind me being a proud parent, is send you the image that won him.
Yeah, please.
So you can all have a look at at what a 13-year-old boy can do, you can also email me and tell me how fabulous my son is. Do that as well. But I just thought before I signed off, I'd let everybody know the good news like that has hit the family, and we're very, very proud of him.
Oh, mate, that is absolutely fantastic. And listen, one thing from me before we go is that there won't be a podcast next week because of Easter. Kath and Max and I are heading off to the Gold Coast in our new car on Thursday night. So there'll be, even though I might have had time to record one, I won't be here to actually publish it. So just a 1 week break, and we'll be back in a fortnight.
Fabulous. All right. So I get a week off.
You do.
I don't have to think of anything.
Right. You've got 2 weeks
to come up with something. Everybody's off. Now, we realize, of course, you know, Easter. Easter, of course, comes from the ancient Babylonian god Ishtar.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Goddess of sex and fertility. So if you're taking some time off over Easter...
Get some photos of sex and fertility.
Well, you know, you're celebrating ancient Babylonian practices of sex and fertility. You know, the death and resurrection of Christ have, you know, somehow gotten mixed up in all of that. Don't know how, but that's what the word Easter comes from.
You know
from,
what they say, mate? Sex sells.
Well, it does, yeah. But, I mean, have you ever wondered what rabbits and chocolate eggs have got to do with the Christian celebration of the Christ's death and resurrection? So there you go. There's a bit of trivia to take away with you for Easter, or Ishtar, as we prefer to call it, and have a bit of fun.
Excellent. All right, mate. Will you have a good Easter?
Yeah, thanks.
Or Ishtar?
Yeah, well, there's a point. One can only hope. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, everyone.
Will do, mate. See ya.
See ya. Bye.
Now, how much of that did you understand?
Audio2U delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable. You be the boss. Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear.
Hit us today. And remember, Control D to bookmark. Audio2U.com.
It's all over, Marge. It's all over.